Blog Talk Radio.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
Yo. Welcome back to another edition of the Life Be Life and Podcast. Back up on the scene, I mean. Hey, delayed but not denied. I'm
and
your host,
D. And I'm your host, D to the J, back in the building like we ain't never left. They tried to stop it, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. Hey, they was trying to send them up to block it. I don't even know why. It ain't that serious, bro. But
hey, you remember that song by Shaq? Hey, stop the rain, my boy.
Stop the rain. Big facts. Without the food snickers, like, we here and it feels so good. Bro, I'm thankful, man, that we got lifers that are rocking with us. We know It's not Wednesday. It's a special episode. It's a special day. And we didn't want to keep y'all waiting, man. So, yeah, we planning on going back to back. We got tomorrow just like normal. But this is the show we couldn't give y'all last week. So, bro, man. How you feeling, man? Let's just start there because ain't nobody heard from you. You understand me? About 13 of them things. What's poppin'?
Man, shoot. Hey, playing dodgeball, man. Staying out the way. You hear me?
Yeah, you're right.
It ain't going on in these streets, man. And it just feels like the older I get and the more responsible I get, like the more you start to see things that, you know, maybe 15 years ago you wouldn't trip off of.
Yeah.
And I just really think it's wild, man. But other than that, you know, hey, like I said, man, you know, we still in the building and we ain't leaving.
Big facts. Hey, look, before we get too far off track and get to doing what it do, hey, man, let's go on and do a quick recap. We had a lot of popping birthdays, important birthdays that just passed March. We got the April month that we in now. We got a lot in April, so.
Yeah.
With that being said, bro, let's go and knock off some quick birthday shouts that we got in the works, and then we'll jump back to, you know what I'm saying, the kickoff to the celebration.
Yeah, big facts, man. So I do want to give a huge shout out to my wife, man. Her birthday is actually this Friday. And, you know, y'all know what we do. Y'all know how we do it. So we're going to do it up on Saturday just a little bit, man, kind of get back, chill, you know, get fun, good time. And then, like, literally, like, my next payday is my daughter's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Pooh, she get ready to be that big dub. So, man, I know she's looking forward to it. And, hey, I really appreciate y'all women, man, you know what I'm saying, being in my life. Wife, I just appreciate you as a whole daughter, like the young lady that you are starting to become, man. Like, we really see, you know, that we raised you right just because of your heart, you know, being in the right place. And, you know, when you see somebody that, you know, needs that little oomph, you're willing to give it. But then on the back end, you don't take no chewed up bull grass. So, you know, I appreciate that.
That's what it do. That's what it do.
What about you, man? You got any April joint?
Man, I'm a go to March, man. Just as we kind of recap, since we didn't have the show, we didn't have that show last week, man. So, March 23rd, man. I'll give a shout out to my oldest brother, man. Big Dog had a great birthday celebrate. That very next Monday, the 25th, my nephew and my niece celebrated their birthday. Man, my dad's was March 29th. My son's was March 30th. You know what I'm saying? And then we celebrated Jesus, damn it, very next day on Easter, man. So March just kind of wrapped up just mad wild, man. We had a blast. Always fortunate to be around family, everything of that sort. Bro, tonight is real special, man. This episode was really, really special.
We quiet there.
Yeah.
I got a text message, so you know I got to stop what you're doing.
We got to pause production.
Yeah,
bro.
You know, so Want to give a shout out to my nephew Donye and my niece Tisha, who don't know how to play spades. So we waiting on you just to go ahead and, you know, give you some more skill points. So happy birthday, y'all.
There it is.
Come on. Yes, sir. Hey, but while we just got these April birthdays out, do y'all know what next month is?
It's loaded.
Hey, it's loaded.
It's loaded.
Boy.
It's loaded. Man, between the topics, between the guests, between the birthdays, between the energy, man, next month is going to be crazy. And again, we just thankful that y'all rocking with us, man, all these different countries that we're fortunate enough to get in. It's just a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. So, man, recapping, like, I'll even go back to the beginning to even now, just because, like, I truly believe that once we got that theme song in place,
yeah,
like, it just embodied so much, because I know me and you meet, like, 15 minutes behind the scene for a little bit, and we kind of, and y'all, what y'all got to understand is that when we get on the air, like, we be pushing for y'all.
Yeah.
There are some days, you know what I'm saying, it could be work. Like, I get frustrated over traffic. It be things, man, that behind the scenes, that 15 minutes.
It be the kids.
You know, that 15 minutes, I'm trying to play music to hype them up.
Man.
He trying to make me laugh. And last week, hey, I'm not going to even lie. Hey, I was hot. Y'all don't understand, man. Like, I was dumb hot.
I knew you were.
If I could read the emails that I sent over to Blog Talk Radio, man, and of course, by being in corporate America, you know, them trigger words, you know, I was just like, I was just firing them off, you know. But after that night, you know what I'm saying, we tried again that Thursday, and Thursday didn't work either. So finally, you know, I just went on and just said, you know what, God, because, and I even told Bro this, I'm like, sometimes as we're in the middle of a situation, all we can see is the situation. But if we can step out and take a step back, you know what I'm saying, and get a little bit of distance, now we can see everything that surrounds the situation. And I'm glad, y'all, you know, God gave me peace on that, because I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to let it go. It is what it is, man. You know, it's for a reason. And, you know, he agreed, and here we are. So,
yeah, I wasn't, I'm going to be honest, man. Like, I wasn't even mad. And I wasn't mad, because honestly felt like, lifers, you know what I'm saying, the reason why the show didn't go on was my fault. And not my fault from the standpoint of it's a button that didn't get hit. It's not a, it wasn't because the show canceled, a bill didn't get paid, none of that. It was my fault because I had a mental assignment that I knew I was supposed to come to the table ready to deal in. And I wavered within myself. You know, we talked on the mental health and different things just on, just from that standpoint. So, yeah, man, I take that. I took the L for that. I don't think mentally I was ready to deliver what I know needed to be delivered. So, boom.
Yeah. So, I mean, if y'all have been rocking from the beginning, like, again, once, because we know we were just trying to cater. We were new, you know what I'm saying? We were just trying to cater music to the topic. And, you know, then we just understood that we really didn't have a sound with that. So as we have adopted, you know, the theme song and the intro, the outro, and we try to bring y'all music, there's another plateau, you know what I'm saying, that we're trying to hit right now. And through our investigations to get it to where we're trying to go, let's get it right. We're not leaving y'all, man. Y'all are base. Y'all have done it in for us and made sure we got where we are. But as we try to go to new heights, unfortunately, we can't use, like, syndicated music on the intro, outro, we're unable to play it. So best believe until now, in our hiatus, we finna have a ball, you hear me? So, but once we do that switch over to where we're on Spotify, Amazon, and Google, and whatever else the case may be to get distributed, number one, we want to protect ourselves because, you know, as I've been reading up, at any point in time, you know, one of the artists can, you know, try to sue us. The great thing, you know, at this juncture, we make your money, we don't have sponsors, things of that nature. So I think that's one of my favorite things of the show, man. It's like the vibe. Like, if y'all, like, in that 90s, because it was a crucial point of your time, and when this Two Dark Boys in a Cadillac dropped, it was just, it was different from your time, but it was dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
it, 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 like it was ushering in a new era in the hip hop, and to be that, because we all thought Outkast was dope, even though they had their own little differences in their ways, they agreed, and I feel like they embodied the show. You know what I'm saying? What you think, bro?
Yeah, I agree. That is kind of like. When I first heard that song, man, well, I'm not going to say first heard it, but when I circled back around to it, I just remember that feeling of I had a real close homeboy, man, my best friend when I was in high school on the West Coast, and he was 16, 17, driving, and his mom had a LAC. And I just remember us rolling in the LAC. We going to the mall or whatever, everybody getting out. You got that Wu-Tang, you got that Outkast. And so it just really put me in a place of like a friendship, a brotherhood, that camaraderie. Like you said, it's two different people, but they complement. And anybody that really knows us as much as we are alike, we just the exact opposite.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that opposite still seems to be like it's alike. So that song, man, the music, the vibe, the feel, it was just like, how can you not, you know what I'm saying, feel this? But,
hey, bro.
Man,
I wanna do something wild.
What up? What you got?
My bad, man. We working on stuff, y'all, for the next season. So we doing our own commercials and things like this.
Yeah.
So on the anniversary show, man, we about to debut Stop Frontin'. So if y'all listening, man, you can dial in. But we want to know on our Facebook page, on Twitter, even by text or inbox, man, what y'all feel about this? I just feel like that tonight, bro. Am I out of line or what you think?
No. It's listen, we would have dropped it last week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, life is, we trying to do something, man. We got places that we want to go. And I know, bro, I'll let you kind of kick and talk about that, just the direction. But just the places that we trying to go and take you lifers on this journey with us as we learn it and adapt it, man. Just buckle up. It's going to be a ride, and we enjoying this process and journey.
Hey, before I run this real quick, we had an anniversary contest, man, and we just really appreciate the people who switched their profile picture to our logo. And even after the contest, many still have it up. We appreciate Roy Jackson, you know, who's our supplier, printing the T-shirts and whatnot. Brits Buds, man, we appreciate you more than people can actually know.
More than you know.
who else, man? We had
all heroes do not wear a cape.
You hear me?
All heroes do not wear a cape, although they can have you in the friendly skies. Please continue.
So, Delicious Delights, man, homemade cookies. They stepped in and stepped up. Hey, man, I heard laughs in the background. I'm weak. But I had lost my concentration, man. See? But anywho, a delicious life, man.
Yeah. That's
homemade cookies. Hey, they the bomb. And last but not least, man, Dip by Didi's STL, who's providing, you know, dip chocolates, pretzels, and things
strawberry.
Of that nature.
Strawberry.
Yes, dip strawberry. So, you know, our winners was Nick Williams, which is Nick, Tina, Jessica, Carla, Anthony, and Brandon. So
yeah,
we in the process of getting them their stuff, man. And we just appreciate y'all just really rocking with us for the anniversary show and, you know, putting our name in places as far as Louisiana, you know, in the States. Even though we worldwide, man, these states is what we after.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot that we talking about behind the scenes and really felt a sense of urgency to get it out and have an open dialogue and conversation with the people, because unfortunately in a lot of communities, there's just things that get overlooked and don't get talked about. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough this past year to be able to find our own kind of foothold on things. And,
yeah.
and the beautiful thing is we still learn it, right? So
yeah,
we're still learning. We're still getting better. When he says we appreciate y'all, lifers, it's for a multitude of things.
Yeah.
It's understanding that, you know, we're live. So we're the audio team. You know what I'm saying? We're the production. We're the producers. We're the moderators. All these different things, the DJ, everything all into one on the spot and on the fly. And we thank y'all for being patient. We thank y'all for tapping in, tuning in. And I'm promising y'all the things that we got upcoming. Bro, is it anything you just want to throw out there to them, just like to dangle the carrot in front of them? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, this season or next season?
Next season. Even as we end this, let's just deal with this. Ending this season, because we've a few more episodes to go. We stretched out the season four. Season three, we went there.
And we got, so if you're in the community, man, we got a lawyer coming on tomorrow. Just going to talk about, you know, simple community questions after that.
He's a criminal justice. Yeah, you know, we all got people going through something. Y'all better tap in and call in
So then, you know, as Missouri is open carry, we'll talk about the importance of getting your concealed carry. From there, we got China White. We talking about the old Bia Bia China White. You will be surprised to hear her story. And then, then we start talking about, you know, his beauty, skin deep, and things of that nature. So, and check it out, y'all. As we are here for the community, y'all business owners, y'all better start, you know, getting somewhere, recording them tags and emailing them so we can support y'all. Local artists, I mean, nationwide artists. This is what we're here for, man. As we're going, so think about it. Y'all getting a live joint. You know what I'm saying? So even if we go to the phone lines, y'all getting all that live. But as we supply other networks with the show, they get an archive. So they didn't hear it for the first time. So everything that comes out right here, y'all get to hear that first just by simply tapping in every Wednesday. And I really believe that is, you know, very, very personal. When you're able to tap in, then maybe, you know, catch it somewhere else. Like, you hear your partner list, oh, man, I heard them already. So without further ado, man, we're going to run this commercial. We really want to know what y'all feel about this because, we did this early on a Saturday morning, and I just thought it was so hilarious. So name of it is Stop Frontin'. All right, you ready? You ready, my boy?
I ain't even going to say it's a commercial. It's more like a skit. This is what happens when one of two people have too much time on their hands.
Too much time, and they both stupid.
And it goes a little like this.
It goes a little something like this, right?
This song was created using the N-Track Studio app.
Hey, it's me, Henry, but all my friends call me Paul. Back again with another awesome product. You ever been lied to so much and you know they're wasting your very existence or time? Well, stop running. Two quick sprays and all those lies just go away. Let's hear some real life. Man, let me get that out of my throat first. Let's listen in and see how stop running really works.
Man, where was you up to the club last night? Hey, I had about three of them. You heard me? Three of them. Man, we was headed back to the crib.
I call Cap. Two quick sprays.
Man, so I came home too late last night. You know, since I got caught with the last chick in the house, mama didn't give me a key, so I had to sleep on the porch.
Once again, stop fronting works. But there's so much more that it does. Let's listen in on how it can affect every lie.
So, man, I was out at the little spot the other night, man. Cats was mugging. I'm like, come on, what you got going?
I call Cap, stop fronting.
Man, it wasn't nobody up in there. It was old, boring, and so I just sat there and had a soda.
Once again, we want to thank Stop Capping for this awesome, amazing product found only at Life Be Life and Podcast, available every single Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hey. Hey, old girl in the background singing is always going to take me out the game.
Hey, well, check it out. Man. So the real backstory to this, at the end of this commercial, boy, hey, my boy sounded like the Micro Machine Man. And we had to cut it because I couldn't contain it. Man, I was over there weak, man. Hey. So.
He going to say, why you ain't him? I just thought about it. I was vibing.
Hey, so real quick, like, the backstory of this, of old boy, you know what I'm saying? But all his friends call him Paul Henry, right? His friends call him Paul.
Yeah.
So check
it
out, man. I served with an army buddy named James Dickinson, right? But as we served together, you know, in the military, hey, whatever your last name is, you know, I'm going to take a portion of that, and that's who you finna be. His name's Smith. You know what I'm saying? So if it was Donaldson, he ain't dying. So I called him Dick. His last name was Dickinson. So, the whole time we
why not just son?
Hey, we hooped together. And so he comes into town, man, like once a year. His daughter has, like, soccer tournament. So we've been linking up last 3-4 years. So this year he comes in town, you know, I want to introduce him to my brother and whatnot and family. Well, at least my brother, because my family already met him. So, you know, I come to the table. I was like, hey, bro. I'm like, hey, you know, this is my homeboy from the Army, James, but I call him Dick. And yo, like the wave of laughter throughout the table. So the funny thing about it was, like, half the people was laughing, half was confused. Like, excuse me?
Right.
So this dude,
well, the
this
half
dude,
that was laughing has done heard me. And so the
yeah,
other
this
the part
dude
that he's not
like,
telling y'all lifers, the part that he's not telling y'all that caused the laughter is
I was
first off, we every bit of about 20 feet away. So I'm hearing somebody keep yelling, hey, bro. So
20 feet?
To the side behind you.
Come on, man.
Now, I'm already lifers.
Come on,
already a few, you know what I'm saying, drinks in.
Run a lot for Wintes. Come on, man. You
man,
take
we was a little different.
We was walking up to the table.
People. Man,
right,
you
yeah.
yelling my name. I look over. Lifers, this dude going to say, hey, this my boy James, but everybody calls him Dick.
I said,
and
I
I'm
call
just
him.
Like, all I know is I was like, yeah, I'm just going to call him James. And
hey,
that's what kicked off the laughter.
And that's what kicked off the hearing from all my friends called me Paul. People were like,
yes.
What the
and
that's
how we got. Hi.
So
I'm
check it out, bro. We got 6
but all
minutes
my friends
left.
Call me Paul.
So check it out, man. Coming up, 8 o'clock, man, we having a regular show. The topic is still standing still. Hey, if y'all ain't been on Facebook lately or checked out in the group, I'm not finna tell y'all what's coming. Y'all just gonna have to hear it when they hear it. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah, fact.
They're gonna have to hear it when they hear it. But what I do want to say is every week that we are able to broadcast a blessing. I know that we don't discuss God a lot on the show, but I want to let people know that as coming from ministry and, you know, God is always going to be a part of my life and a part of our life. As we walk the daily walk, if you look at somebody's life close enough, there's something that you are going to disagree with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the end of the day, as we continue to put God first, continue to have those conversations, because what y'all missed about the prodigal son is that no matter how far he got from home, the only thing that changed was his mindset. It wasn't his location. In a little bit, man.
Yeah,
somebody go get
him. He returned to himself. From the moment
that you return to yourself, you're back with the Father. So I just want to share that with people, you know what I'm saying, as we continue to move on, move forward. Bro, I'm going to say this to you now, yep. Man, you know, as we got this guest popping up next hour. Hey, I appreciate you, man. What y'all don't know is when you go into a partnership with another grown black man who is married, who's also in corporate America, who's also smart and dumb at the same time, like you, it's really a blessing just to be here. And we act like we got some sense in front of y'all, but we just appreciate our voice being able to be heard and change lives. So I'm going to slide it over to Bro, because I know you got special words. And hang out, y'all. We're going to start the theme song again, and we sliding right back up on the scene. Know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, just as we kind of are preparing to transition into, you know, the actual show, just thinking about the recap in this past year, same way, man, it's really an honor to be able to do this journey, you know, with somebody that's like-minded, that's goal-oriented. I learned a lot. You know, I really hope the lifers, people that just tap in, you know, the streamers, the call-ins, anybody that's had a chance to come across the platform, regardless of what state or country that they're in, I really hope that something has been said that would, you know, encourage them or uplift them or just motivate them, give them some type of hope, some type of peace, like something. The biggest thing that we really want people to get from the Life Be Life and podcast is we do understand Life Be Life. And the part about it when you say, but we always going to be here to talk about it, that's the part that people need to grasp, because we're not talking about so much. We're ingesting it. We're chewing on so much, but it doesn't have a way to exit.
Yeah.
And I don't care what scenario we apply, you can equate it to food, you know what I mean? And you're constantly consuming, you're taking in all this matter, but you're not releasing. You understand that health is going to lead to a lot of bad things. And it's the same way when it comes to digesting problems, thinking that they're just going to go away because they're no longer in front of you, but you just internalized it, and it's still a problem. It's just eating on the inside. And so talking about these things, really, it's almost like self-help, and I'm really hoping people grasp that. So episodes are archived. If something you hear touches your heart, motivates you to start your business, helps you be a better parent, mom, father, husband, wife, whatever that looks like, we've been fortunate enough to have teenagers and preteens that have tapped in, man. So if it helps you to do better in school, be a better young adult into adulthood, that's what we're here for. I'm excited, man. So lifers, hang tight. We got a lot of things going forward. And I'm ready for the real deal, Holyfield. So let's tap in and get for real with it.
Yes, sir. We got about 30 seconds before we there. Hey, don't forget to grab your merch, man. Get your Life Be Life podcast. Get your hoodie. We working on getting cups and all that other stuff, man. So get ready to tap in, because this time next year, we will have a whole
big
different
dude,
story.
Big dudes. Know. Big dudes. I'm going to say it. Big dudes. I got a draws line coming. I got a draws line. We ain't doing them BBWs is BBMs. You understand me? I got a draws line coming. Hold on. I got socks that ain't going to squeeze the lower part of your shins and leave that elastic waistband mark.
Oh,
I got
God,
y'all,
man.
We're doing something.
Hey, there we go.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. dope boys in a Cadillac. It's just two dope boys in a Cadillac. It's just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
Yo, another edition of the Life We Life and podcast. Back up on the scene now, I mean. Hey, y'all know this your host, Tony D. If y'all listen to the pre-show, man, y'all already know what's coming. Listen to the anniversary show, you know what I'm saying? This is what we finna do now. So the show topic tonight is still standing, standing still. Of course, this was our anniversary show. We started 30 minutes early. Just to recap, you know what I'm saying? I know y'all had a couple of giggles and laughs, but I sure heard some in my house. But we jumping right into the topic, man. So the guest tonight is going to be none other than my brother, you know what I'm saying, co-host D to the J. Man, this is going to be an explosive episode. Y'all remember my episode, Mental Health, in season one? He's just been kind of compiling, man, and I felt like for the anniversary show, just to show honor to my dude, my boy, you know what I'm saying, that, hey, let's get this together. And this is going to be you. We're going to deal with infidelity, divorce. We're going to talk a little bit about church. And we're going to feel like, we're going to talk about feeling like all is lost and emerging again as a champion and conqueror. Y'all, hey, that word, conqueror. I'm overcoming. I'm finished. You know what I'm saying? I'm the best of the best. I'm here. The conqueror of obstacles. So you know what? We are not go tarry, man. We about to get into it because you know how we like to do it.
This song was created using the N-Track Studio app.
And opinions expressed
on the Life Be Life podcast are those of the authors, guests, stated resources, and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Life Be Life podcast. Any content or information provided are opinion-based. Listeners are encouraged to verify any and all communications, stats, numbers, thoughts, and comments for themselves.
Bottom line, we ain't trying to get sued, so whatever you hear, if you feel a way, please don't holler at us.
All that. I'm going to help him out till he come through those big facts. Show you what a young boy do talk.
I done grew up around gangsters, murderers, cold-blooded assassins, asking what I claim based off my daily fashion. Booster for some MJ, chased by a gang of essays, 40 to the face, doing 100 on the freeway. Been laughed at, talked about, lied on, slept on, thought I turned my back on God. No, dead wrong, mayday, mayday, a Taurus, I'm a bull, so stubborn and won't quit. Mama taught me a golden rule. My tongue and mind is a sword, prepared for the duel. No brakes, I'm all gas, the driving fuel. So what to do when the options is can't lose, and I'm past back, and the obstacles...
Check it out, y'all, man. I have the honor. Y'all know the man. The man, the myth, the legend. My brother, you know what I'm saying? From another mother. This is my ace. Blood cannot make us any closer. I appreciate him. I love him. I love his family. And honestly, I don't even think his kids know that we not blood. But I'm going to present the song. And if you listening for the very first time, my brother, D to the J.
I love it. Hey, boy, look. Hey, man. I'm thankful, man. I'm blessed. I'm fortunate. I'll be able to people by the hand, man, and let them walk with me. Share a lot of never before things. That will hopefully give some insight to maybe the person, the representative of me that you met whenever we met over this course of life. You know what I'm saying? So if you ask 10 people about me, man, you're going to get 10 different responses. And unfortunately, you got to believe them all. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I said, like, tonight, I know I feel in my heart of hearts, man, that this was delayed because of specific circumstances. And I ain't even wanting to really try to figure out what them circumstances are, but I know it was for a purpose.
Yes, sir.
I think a lot of people wanted to come against it because it was going to be some finger pointing, but this ain't even that. So we're going to hold a mirror up. We're going to get a really good understanding. And, man, we're just looking to do something awesome. Hopefully somebody gets something out of this.
Yeah, man, what's crazy is, like, you know, we met way back in the day, man, doing Kingdom Talk. And y'all, you know what I'm saying? If that's your vibe, it's still out there, man. You know what I'm saying? Still going strong. And unfortunately, as life was lifing, you know, paths changed, but paths still crossed.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time, man, like we kicked it at your crib, me and the wife, with you and the wife, and, you know, we had never been there before. Like, we had never hung out.
Which was
always
extremely strange.
Yeah.
That in itself was extremely strange because by that point in time, it had been 9 to 11 years of us interacting on a very close level.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that spouse connection, family connection, it didn't happen for whatever reason. So, yeah, that's wild.
So the more I get to know you, man, you know, like the more I'll be real, because unfortunately nowadays, you know what I'm saying, black men don't give other black men their just due, is always competition. And that's why I shout out to J. Cole, rather. A lot of people talking about he was soft and this and the other, but the thing is that the world always wants to see black men against black men. You know, thing that is just rap, let me kill this. So the more I see you and interact with you and, you know, come to find out, like, my wife always tell me that I'm smart. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm that smart. I know certain stuff when I need to know certain stuff. And then to meet somebody that's, you know, we had like a real deep conversation. You remember for like 1.5, 2 hours one day on the phone, that nobody, people would cast us out of heaven if they could.
Yeah.
And it was just a conversation. I was like, yo, this is crazy. And for y'all that don't know, like, our birthdays, his is May 13th. Mine is May 31st. Both of our oldest daughter's name is Deja. So I know him where I met him. So, bro, what I want you to do, man, because you've heard mine. And now you have a better understanding than me. But if I feel like, because remember I called, you know what I called you one day when it came to gaming. And I'm like, there's more to this dude that meets the eye. And I hear you talking about you being in Seattle and in Denver. And see, I keep up because you my bro. So take me back, man. Take me back, because lifers, I'm going for the first ride like y'all. So, bro, kind of take me back, man.
What I'm gonna do, man, I'm literally gonna start at a very, very young age, and the reason why I'm gonna do that is because as we go further in stages of my life, some of the events and things shaped my mindset, shaped my personality, and so it's important. And before I get started, I'm gonna say this: I'm very much aware that I have the support of family, and they support by listening, they support by sharing the podcast. And so I want y'all to understand that some things that might be said, they just come from a place of my truth. There's absolutely nobody that I have hard feelings for. Anything that has ever happened had to be for a greater good. And mind you, the things that I will say, it's not like a direct where somebody burned me, you know what I'm saying, or somebody, you know what I'm saying, shot or stat. It's no direct. And I say that because I want people to not defend, but to understand. And ultimately, again, it's a teaching tool. So just as far as starting, one, I was born into a married two-parent home. The youngest of five siblings. My mother worked in a hospital. She was in the nursing field. My father was a police officer and would also become a sheriff. So we came from a black family standpoint, a very well-structured home, one so much that people allowed their children to come to our house. You could come to the Johnson's house because these things were in place, okay? However, by 5 years old, my world would really begin to change. So being the youngest of five with a 10-year age gap between me and the siblings. So age five, things start to change. I go from that two-parent married structured household to now it has turned into a one-parent household with only one child in it. And this happened in less than a year's time. And I am thankful for how my parents chose to handle things, because while people may not believe that I recall, I remember being roughly 5 years old, being called to the kitchen table by my parents and being told that we're no longer going to be together. Who would you want to live with? And not because I favored one more than the other, but I guess the love of my mother and what I seen, I said my mom. That decision was said right then and there, in front, you know, had with us three. My father, however many days, weeks, you know, after the fact, he ended up leaving. He left the state. Me and my mother relocated. We relocated back to Indianapolis. We were in Denver at the time. So just that dynamic change, you know, to do kindergarten, first grade, have that structure. And then in a matter, like I said, in a year, you go from having four siblings in the house to now you're the only one, two parents in the house to now just one, and you are not even in the same state anymore. You're cross country. So the friends that you had, for those who don't think people, kids remember, I remember the very first friends that I had in school in kindergarten, Eric and Dominic, they were twins. You can remember these things. And so there was a lot of things, even at that point in time, bro, that began to take place. And I'm not certain of the whys, but things started to happen spiritually that had never happened before. And so I began to, prior to that move, I could hear things like my name being called in the middle of the night. People would say stuff like, oh, that probably was your sister's playing a trick on you. But anybody that, even to this day, that has ever seen my sisters around me, and again, being 10 to 14 years age difference, they don't play about me. They don't tease. They don't. There is a level of protection that you just won't see. So I already knew that this was not a scenario that was taking place. I was literally hearing and began to see things that were not of this world. And so while I did not believe in God at 4, 5, 6 years old, I fully believed in the devil because I had seen him working. I seen the shadows. I heard my name being called in the middle of the night. I can recall going into a corner of a room, and I could hear my name only in that corner. I experienced all these things, and so this led to the first of many self-induced, don't tell anyone that they're going to think you're crazy battles, right?
Yeah.
By the time you're roughly 7 years old, you have, like I said, had your whole household changed. And now you're starting to experience things that you have no knowledge of, which is a very strange place to say, because my father was also an assistant pastor. And while we would go to church, I don't think that relationship was really there or present in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I fast forward down the line, I knew I was aware of when there was a spiritual attack in my home, but I don't know if they recognized it. I don't know if it was something that was even evident, or if this was the works of the enemy that was just trying to attack me.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody that's ever had that as a young child, or your young child is going through that, you got to understand that the older and bigger they get, the stronger they're going to get. And so sometimes the enemy wants to knock them off and kill the fight when they're little. You know what I'm saying? When they don't know how to fight, they don't know how to pray, they don't know how to talk,
right.
They don't know how to tell somebody, they don't know how to cry for help. You know what I'm saying? So I think this was like the first time I had to really like have that mental battle. And this is a mental health love. Parents, this can be as simple as you just constantly having a planned conversation with your children to decompress. Decompress your child. For anybody that's listening and say, well, why is that important? Because I'm telling you that now, if we now fast forward to the age of 9 or 10, I've watched my police and assistant pastor father leave the state for work, move us across country for 2 years, me start school at kindergarten, do first grade, parents get divorced, go from a family of 7 down to a family of 2 and a single parent, move back cross country to live with my uncle, who would pass away a year later from essentially not letting that alcohol go, something that affects our community like crazy.
I just really want to reiterate on, because I've never, you know what I'm saying, as much as we've talked, you ain't never saying that to me, and I'm mad. But to debrief your kids, and I just really think that was gold, because as life be lifing, and I know it's a shameless plug, but it is what it is. We try to handle everything as adults, and I understand that, you know, kids don't have to know everything if it doesn't affect them. But changes is that is going to affect them to be some type of conversation, so it's not a, yeah, like a drastic change of environment. You know, you got to prep them for
it got so much worse, bro. And so this is why I say, you know, you parents, you got to recognize every situation. Like, at some point, you got to acknowledge if your kid needs professional help. And just because you might not see them acting out in the manner that normally doctors, scholars would say this is how it is, again, I want y'all to really trip off of that. You know what I'm saying?
We
moved cross country for my dad to get work there for 2 years. Now a household of 7 is broken up. We moved back. Me and my mom, uncle dies about a year later. So now I'm aged at about 7 and a half, almost 8. I find out what a vegetable is because my cousin was shot in the head, and he's a vegetative state. By the time I'm going into my 10th birthday, I go away for the summer break like I do every single year to spend the summer with my father. And I remember coming home for summer break. I'm with my mom. I don't recall what the reason we had to go to this grocery store, but we're in the grocery store shopping for whatever. And this is when I find out that my best friend had drowned while I was gone. So you have a 10-year-old who has went through all of this, all the while growing up in the regular conditions of the hood. And I'm not trying to say, like, all people kicking in your door. This, I ain't saying that. But if anybody knows Indianapolis, you're going to acknowledge that Hallville is not a place to where if you had an option, I don't think we would have been there as kids at one point in time. And you know what? I'll stop and say this, though. My mother did a great job of making the hood look good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so much that I was able to have because she sacrificed. But that doesn't take away from the point that you're still in the hood. You got brothers that are living 10, 15 minutes away that you don't feel like rock with you fully. You know what I'm saying? You got a sister that is 4 years older than you, but you ain't seen her since you was four. And everybody thinks you crazy when you keep saying you remember this, you remember that. And that's all people keep trying to tell you. And so parents, adults, what kind of – so pause. Let me just stop here. The book of James, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's chapter 3. It might be verse 3, but I'm pretty confident it's chapter 3. And it talks about the power of the tongue, bro. It talks about that this little bitty member has the ability to cast thy whole body into the depths of hell. It also talks about this little bitty member has the ability to bless you or curse you, but these things ought not to be. Teaches us that words are powerful, right? And so I want you guys to really think, if words are powerful, and we know they are, that's why it's called spelling. And it's what witches use, and it's what warlocks use, and it's what you say. You go to the altar, the pastor lays hands on you because he's trying to impart a word from you. Words have power. Why would you allow people to keep saying your child is crazy? Why would you let somebody keep saying your child is crazy? Even if you're playing. Even if you're playing. Because your words can start to stir something up in that child that you don't even see is there, because like our episode, Sleeping with a Ticking Time Bomb, you don't know what their DNA is fully comprised of. You don't understand what's happening into their mind when they're growing up in the hood and you in your room sleep and they're seeing things in the middle of the night. People don't know what that's like. You don't know what fear is like as a child unless you sleep and you feel a demon touch you and wake up out your sleep. Unless you in the house by yourself and you can hear folks walking upstairs, unless y'all come from out of town on the weekend and you can smell freshly sprayed perfume like somebody just left out and ain't nobody been there, if you don't see chains, hear them in the middle of the night, you can't rock with what I'm telling you. When you wake up 3 a.m. every night and you see it in front of your doorway, you're not going to feel what I'm on. So to some people, it might be a little crazy. But, bro, you got to be careful what you call people, right? Got to be careful. So all those things that I mentioned, bro, about the experience into the supernatural, one of my two best friends drowning, I began to play with death. And especially when it pertained to water, there was a sense that you killed him, but you can't kill me. You're talking about a person who couldn't even swim, bro. And for the life of me, I can't tell you why we're going places, and I'm jumping off the diving board 8 feet, 10 feet. Can't swim a lick. Going to water parks. You know what I'm saying? All these different things. And I think the most traumatic and probably reckless thing we ever did, the very river that my friend drowned in, that runs from the state of Indiana all the way through Ohio, there are train tracks that cross over the river at a certain point. Me and two of the friends have went on these train tracks, bro, a nice little ways in, hand, you know what I'm saying, knee, hand, and you began to get so cocky. So by that following summer, we have another friend that moves in, and he fulfills the spot, if you could call it that, of the friend that left this side of life. Our parents called it the Three Musketeers. You didn't see one without the other. You wanted to know what one was, that all you got to do is check or call the two houses. And not even knowing the person that had passed, I remember in the midst of him trying to celebrate, I guess, the conquering of this water's death with us, this man walked out on what, it was like a base that held a waterfall that emptied directly onto this river. And he was out there just dancing, and we laughing and joking, growing up in the hood and not knowing nothing, not realizing that this green substance on those rocks he was dancing on was extremely slippery.
Yeah.
And when I tell you that it wasn't nothing but the grace of God, that yes, he slipped, but he did not fall in. And that was indeed the last day that we played around the White River. These particular things, bro, they left me not confident in a lot of areas. A level of uncertainty about death.
Before we switched over to that,
yeah,
let's give you a quick breather.
Let's do it.
And y'all just tune in because, hey, it's kind of like that two-minute timeout because, hey, it might not be another stoppage. You feel me?
So, let's do it.
Let's do it.
This song was created using the N-Track Studio app.
An opinion express
for the Life Be Life of podcast or those.
My bad. That's not what I wanted. Here we go.
It's going to be some stuff you're going to see that's going to make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you got to keep your sense of humor. You got to be able to smile through all it.
Young black male, some see me stranded in this land of hell, jail and sales, hustle and hardly think of culture, or the repercussions while busting on backstabbing vultures, selling my soul for material wishes, fast cars, and wishing I live my life a legend, immortalized the bitches, watch that tears, say your sympathy, my childhood years were spent burying my peers in the cemetery, here's a message to the newborns, waiting to breathe, if you believe then you can achieve. Look at me, against all odds, though life is hard, we carry on. Living in the projects, broke with no lights on. To all the seeds that follow me, protect your essence. Born with less, but you still precious. This man for me now. Thought slowly upon phrases I rush, and I can walk through the days of the dust. I often wish that I could save everyone, but I'm a dreamer. Have you ever seen us? Who was strong in the game, overlooking his tomorrows, and it finally came. Look back on childhood for a reason I'm still feeling. Turning circles in my ninth grade, dealing. Too many houses in my local life, survived the strain. And a man without a focus, life could drive me insane. Stuck inside a ghetto fantasy, hoping it changed. But when I focus on reality, we broken and changed. Had a dream of living wealthy and making it big. Over football, told to cook raw and taking it dig. And after all, my mama's thanking God for blessing the child. All my mama got to do now is collect it and smile. Smile. Straight shot, bullets be hot, stay burning, inhaling. Visualize the flames, well I've been smothered by my own pain. Strange witches, cowards conversate, so quick to distance. Taking pictures for the feds and desperate hopes they get it. Hit us all, give us plenty centuries, forgive my sins. Since I ended many penitentiaries, the best revenge. Friend, we military minds, soldiers, busting shot blindly. Trying to find Jehovah to help it. Somebody save me, lost the crazy. To drop a seed, hoping I ain't cursed my baby. Maybe now, feel me now, pitching my pain. Embrace my words, make the world change. And still I smell.
And now a moment of silence. Let us pray. And as you journey into outer space, may the angels help to lead the way.
May the prayers that our families make shine upon your soul and keep it safe. And all the homies that have passed away.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just while I'm thinking, man, and yeah. I'm here, I missed the birthday, man. Shout out to Heaven. Happy birthday, Carolyn. We miss you, cousin.
Happy birthday.
Man, I'ma say this, man, before we jump back. I was listening to that song and her face just really like popped up. And other than my sister that's not here, one of my sisters that still is, of course, my wife, everything is just beautiful, but my cousin Carolyn had one of the prettiest smiles, bro. And I don't mean pretty like, oh, because your teeth is perfect. This, I mean, one, beautiful teeth, of course, but when she smiled, bro, it was such warmth that you got from it. You know what I'm saying? So this is a cousin, but again, because of my age and how young I am in comparison to my siblings.
Yeah.
A lot of my cousins, my first blood cousins are almost would be auntie's age. The cousins I was raised with are second string cousins. So this cousin would be the age of my auntie. So when I looked at her growing up, there was just a motherly warmth that you got from her smile. Like, yeah, man. So shout out to Heaven for that, man. That's a birthday shout out. So you ready to jump back into it, bro?
Hey, you ready? Pool is full.
I've been ready. So, you know, before we kind of left Lifer, you know, I was kind of just talking about a lot of the things that kind of shape the phase early in life. And so a lot of those situations I spoke of, you know, I wasn't confident in a lot of areas. I felt I was an incredible basketball player and I was musically gifted and I was an incredible artist. I was nice with the pencil. Outside of those things, I wasn't too confident about anything. I had an uncertainty about death, a disbelief in God, but an extreme fear and belief of the devil. And I'll even say this is the first time I'm going to say this, bro. I was even unsure of my role now in my own family. And my family, immediate and extended friends could hear that and be like, what do you mean? You always was loved. I'm not talking about being loved. I'm saying I didn't know where I fit because I went from being the baby boy to realistically the only child. You know what I'm saying? When we left, my siblings were old enough. They stayed in Denver, bro. The twins with themselves, and my oldest brother and sister got a crib by themselves. So what kind of aided to me not knowing who I was is there would be so many photo albums and things like that in the crib, and I would just go through them, right, and just look. I was so infatuated with my siblings and the things that they did that was just so dope. But I always couldn't help but notice that there wasn't many pictures of me. And other than, like, the two grade-level pictures from Denver, there's, like, a Chuck E. Cheese birthday picture that came from Denver. I've got, like, a four-year-old picture, maybe, like, a baby picture. But I'm only seeing one baby picture, bro, and that's just been within the last 2 years of my life. There's a sixth grade picture in organized basketball when I was in sports. But outside of that, there's no pictures. I don't have yearbooks. There's no random photos. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, the pictures were so far and slim. And so I used to often think, like, what happened that made the memories want to stop being taken? And yeah, I know it's nothing. It was nothing towards me. It's nothing that I did. But imagine being a kid, having all those things happen that I mentioned, and then as you look and you seeing you know, everybody's upbringing. I'm seeing all these kids together, the two-parent household. They had a dog, bro. At one point, they had two birds. They had them parakeet joints that would talk, white birds. They had this stuff.
Yeah.
And then here comes this little black boy. You know what I'm saying? And this marriage of 7 years now dissipates. And all of the reflections of what's taking place on the day-to-day or a good moment or what, that stops. And like I say, I understand, and again, I know it's nothing intentional, but for parents, these are the things I want you guys to think about. And if you have to just look on Facebook to get this representation, you might want to change that, because your kid is going to want to know why, you know, if you have three kids, why for the first two did you do X, Y, Z? And then when it was my time to step into it, you know, you didn't see those things. And even though you might have a valid reason, some stuff we just have to kind of communicate to the children. So all of that stuff is vital, bro.
Yeah.
And again, I say that because I really want to move to the next phase. And I almost want to move into like a part two of life, which is like, I want to deal with like late teenage years. So I think life was, you got a pretty good understanding of some things that shaped my mindset as a child. And so now as I'm moving cross country again, because I have left from Indianapolis to Seattle to live with my father for at this point in time about the past 3.5-4 years. And so my senior year of high school, and as I'm preparing what I think is going to be for prom and to graduate, to do all of these things, to celebrate and enjoy a phase of life that most 17, 18-year-olds get to appreciate, I find out probably, I think it was roughly January, as we entered my senior year's second semester, that I was told that, hey, come May, we move into St. Louis. Because there was a relationship that was going to start. And, bro, the anger that I experienced, it was really wild, because my mindset, I had never skipped school before. I'm now skipping high school because my mindset is, screw it. I'm not going to graduate here, because before school ends, you know, I would have graduated roughly May 26th. We moved the week of May 6th. Just a 2.5-week delay would have shaped a whole different outlook and perspective for my life. So remembering that last day of being at school and getting picked up and taking a week to drive cross country to a house where I only had met this woman briefly once, and I've never met her three children. I'm in this house waiting for them to come home from school to meet them for the first time. This is going to be my new family, my new house, my new siblings, new state, new everything. And again, it's, what's the mental state of your kids? Because all of this is steady piling on, bro. So while the school's direction given to my father was, we're moving to St. Louis, he's not going to graduate. What was not communicated or fully comprehended was the reason why I wasn't going to graduate is because of the information I was given. What am I going to keep going to school for if I can't even walk? We leaving before graduation. I can't go to prom. Bro, I got my prom line. My prom is lined up with a young lady that I have been sincerely crazy about, and vice versa, since we was in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this is some, like, this is that. It's that puppy love. So you are broke, my best friends, you know what I'm saying? I'm performing, I'm rapping, I am performing. I'm performing. The person that I perform with, bro, the only true partner I ever had when it came to music is actually a Grammy Award-winning producer to this day. He has music departments dedicated to him at Morehouse. Who's to say again what life would have been? But neither here nor there. Fighting Demons, Delilah, and Divorce. So I want y'all to understand, man, that 60% of couples marry
between the ages. I missed something. So you move to St. Louis, and now you're talking about divorce.
Now, 60% of couples married between the ages of 20 and 25 end in divorce.
Okay.
When you take that statistic and you couple it with somebody that has varying insecurities, possibly don't even know where they fit into life, and every time you get to a point of a celebration, it's snatched from you, such as the graduation, returning from summer breaks, and there's a very close step. You just name it. So as a teen and, you know, going through the normal changes that we all go through, being new to this particular state, my swag is a little different. They rapping here, but I'm rapping different. I began to get different attention for the first time. Because, mind you, yeah, I had a few girlfriends on the West Coast, but that was just a on-paper relationship. We talk till you fall asleep on the phone. You know what I'm saying? You clothes burning, you hunching. This is a all-public show, so you know, oral is a part of things, but as far as intercourse, that first sexual experience happened, as I mentioned on a previous episode, a young lady took advantage of me when I was beyond intoxicated. So I really didn't get that attention that most people would have got at 17, to where it led to all of these women that they would be, quote-unquote, smashing or knocking down. So when I get to St. Louis and I begin to get all this different attention, and I begin to really understand, well, okay, I might not be effective in these areas where I don't know nothing, but I do know that they feeling your boy, and right. I can be myself through, I guess, almost the love of women. And I met this young lady, just working on the job. It was a relationship that developed, that puppy love. You moved out. You know what I'm saying? They had a young child already. I went from being a dependent to raising one. And so not having that complete structure of seeing really what a marriage looked like. In my neighborhood, there was literally only one person that I can think of that it was husband and wife, mom and his dad, biological, in the home. Every one of us, every other household either was one parent, or it was a step-parent. So I didn't have this representation. So dating this young woman for 2.5 years, we are now living together. I've been raising her child for 2.5 years, treating her like my own. Now I'm assuming this is my child. I'm bringing around the family. And so it elevated to a point to where you say, you know, I can't do X, Y, Z unless we're married. My mindset was like, okay, because what is marriage other than what we're doing? We paying bills together. living together, raising a child to a 19-year-old, isn't that marriage? So the very next year, ended up entering my first marriage. And our ages were 20 and 21. So this is where I said, you know, fighting demons, Delilah and divorce, and that 60% of couples married between the age of 20 and 25 in the divorce. And when I say Delilah, it is not a derogatory term or to disrespect her.
Yeah.
It is simply if you know who Delilah is and that enticement. And so this is an aspect of my life where it feels like for the first time somebody is concerned with me, fully concerned with who I am and willing to almost cater to a certain extent for me to be that person. And this is something I never had. And so the common thing is if we want to continue to elevate because, you know, everybody's in so lovey-dovey, that next elevation, I mean, what else is it but marriage? So, boom, you married. One of the things that for people that are considering marriage, think you in love, young, old, it don't matter, is a lot of the past will impact this marriage. And it might not seem like it right away. The reality is, bro, is I was not ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I was not ready from a maturity standpoint. I was not ready from a providing standpoint. And to be honest, I was still a prolific cheater. Because I had never experienced other women to that extent. So while I'm trying to be in this relationship, the one thing that women always have to remember, men as well, when you want to be in a monogamous relationship, you always have to make certain that you're providing that thing that allows a person to be monogamous with you.
Yeah.
And so there are so many people walking this earth in a relationship that feel like that they have been duped. What I mean by that is, during the dating phase, y'all is at it like rabbits, you know what I'm saying, 24/7. But many a person says, but the moment that marriage took place, it's like now that I got you, I ain't got to do that. And so it almost started to give the appearance that performing wifely duties almost came off as if it was a chore.
Yeah.
And when you're not emotionally mature, when your emotional cup wasn't filled at the pivotal moments of your life, insecurities, you need somebody that is able to speak to that. And when you withhold something from me, especially men in general, and it's sex, the one thing that we'll take from it is it's something wrong with me. I'm less than. I'm inadequate. I'm no longer this. I'm no longer that. And yeah. So then what happens, you continuously try to fight something, but the women elsewhere are like, if that was me. Bro, I'm going to say something I've never said before. I don't think I've ever told you this. I was such a prolific cheater, bro. December 15th, 2005, I get a phone call to my sister. Well, the phone call is, you need to come home now. It's an emergency. And I find out that my sister is no longer on this side of life. I was such a trifling person, bro. When I got that phone call, I was in the process of cheating. I was actually cheating then. The day that my sister died and I found out, I was cheating.
Man.
I was actually with the woman that I was there with her. What made it so scandalous is she had a sister that I knew I wanted to be with but couldn't because that was wrong, and I put my family on her. So all of us is out there together.
So check this out, man. Like, I don't want to harp on the cheating, but for men out here, you know what I'm saying, or women, you know what I'm saying, like, this is a very important part of the conversation. Like, so I remember you saying that you were emotionally immature, you know what I'm saying? And so what satisfaction was it for you? You know, if any. So let me say that, because a lot of times things happen because they happen. So tell me how you got
through
that.
It was, though. It wasn't, you know, the one thing I speak to even to this day, you know, a lot of people will say that men cheat just to cheat, but we really don't. And I wasn't. My cheating initially, I mentioned, you know, and again, it's to be as tasteful as possible. When you want monogamy, you have to provide things to make you monogamous.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in marriages, you know, you talk to somebody that's just dating somebody, they'll tell you, oh, man, we having sex 5-7 times a week. Somebody married be like, what? I'm only getting it. Is that a month? You know, it's so many variations. But the reality is this. If you end up getting married, and before you marry, you know what I'm saying, it's backshot city, it's this, it's that, it's oral, it's all these things. And then God comes into the picture, and now marriage comes into the picture. And if we believe in the Bible and it's talking about things, the bedroom is undefiled, and we believe in things that God is, he honors marriage and he's pleased with marriage. Why is it that so much of that now changes when you're under the covering to be able to do in your privacy with your partner that you should? And the reality is, what was the whole point of somebody being holy and saving yourself if you're going to get married and you still ain't sitting here with them?
Right. I'm with you.
So,
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? So the reality is, when you're not going to be able to have sex 16 to 22 times a year, and everything's going to be on the up and up. And money, the finances, and sex are the driving factors to most scenarios that will create divorce. So for me, what I initially tried to do was to separate love with sex. So I had female friends that literally, this is back when you had, what was that, Star 67? Nobody knew my number. We never talked unless it was time to get something popping. I talked to you, you know what I'm saying, the right way. It was never nothing disrespectful, and that's why I could always come around and spin the block. But so scandalous, bro, like I had a chick that was a few years older. I'm knocking her down, and then I'm going in the front room, cutting her teenage son hair and still charging shorty. Now, she in there putting gas in the car, cooking my food, just, you know what I'm saying, open up the cookie jar, and she finna pay me for cutting her son's hair.
Yeah.
But the cheating part is something that you will try to control it, I guess, if you will, by thinking that you're supplying the initial demand, which is a physical need. I need to have sex, so I'm going to use this person for that. But eventually, then what begins to happen, the other part of emotional distress begins to get highlighted, to where maybe somebody isn't giving you the attention that you desire. They're not giving you your time. They're talking to other people, whether it's church folks, whether it's family, whether it's friends, with more empathy and concern and care than they're talking to you. And so then you begin to want to take women and fill in that emotional gap, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with that is you have what also is called, and this is a actual thing, it is called silent divorce. And it's also, bro, it's also known as emotional divorce. And it's gradual, and often it's even unnoticed, right? Like the separation where you two once were intimate, the love, the connections, all of that is eroded. Normally the person that is not emotionally insufficient, that is not experiencing a lot of the insecurities, that might have had maturity emotionally, that might have had more partners initially, and when all those things aren't happening for one person, they don't see it as a problem. It's only the other person, and because they love, they'll keep their mouth closed, try to fight through it. I'm going to say this, bro, and then I want to kind of get off of that. and kind of pick up the pace and bring to the now. But women, fellas, if you're dealing with something like that, man, I'm telling you, I do not regret a lot of things in my life, right? I feel like that the decisions that I made, whether good, bad, or indifferent, some place that I was that I shouldn't have been, things that happened to somebody that I still shouldn't have, everything has molded me into the man that I am today and the decision-making that I'm able to have today. And so even as I look back and I think about the displacement and some of the things that I felt my brothers, my older brothers didn't do for me. And so when my brother passed away about 7 years ago, I felt like, yes, I'm sad. Yes, I'm hurt. But I don't understand why I should be hurt, because I genuinely had told one of my siblings, think he really ever liked me. And even though I knew that that wasn't the truth, those insecurities and my insufficiencies began to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I used to say, well, if my brother loved me, why didn't he ever teach me about girls? Why was my first experience here? If my brother loved me, why didn't nobody ever teach me how to, hey, put your hands up and fight like this? Nobody ever said, hey, I know you in Hallville, don't, you know. So my brain and those insecurities began to tell me that somebody really didn't love you. And I can remember the conversations before he left. He was very remorseful for things that really was water under the bridge. I got burned when I was a little bitty baby, maybe like 2 or 3, I don't know, somewhere around there. On accident, we had to share a bed, but because of the age group, I'm like 3, he's 18. We never slept in the same bed. We was never around each other. He's at work, I'm home. I'm at school, he sleeps. And so him ironing to get ready, iron fell, burned me. He by my adult life, was so hurt by that he hurt me. And we never really had a chance to kind of reconcile and just for me to express to him that it's all good, one. Two, to be like, why this, why that, and give somebody the opportunity for me to understand that it wasn't that things that was being done intentionally, that they were just young. They 18. They want to live and be outside. They didn't have a baby. I'm a little brother. Whatever the case. So, but again, all those particular things, they circle back around to play a part in why I would make that decision. And I ultimately say, if you're at that point, open your mouth, tell that person what it is, because while I do not regret a lot of things, the one thing that I do regret is knowing that somebody was emotionally crippled by selfish actions. And even though I can justify it from my standpoint, the reality is it caused a lot of damage. You know, I had to have kids go to counseling. I had to repair relationships. There was a lot of things that, because I did not have the heart, I wasn't man enough to be like, yo, this is that. And there was plenty of conversations when we were there, bro, but we wasn't in front of each other, and it wasn't appropriate to have over the phone. And by the time you get in front of each other, you got church, you got the kids, you got to cook, and you can never get back into that serious nature, and you brush it off. And then birthdays come, and anniversaries come, and holidays come, and this is, and you never can get there. So life be life. And so since I didn't have the courage to say something, ultimately what I did was I allowed myself, while the many, because they turned their backs on me as a city, and felt that I had got caught, I allowed myself, because now I have to deal with it, and I'm able to tell the truth and move forward. And you have to be careful of putting your mouth on situations that you don't know nothing about. And so while people are worshiping and lifting their hands and they seeing somebody lay out at the altar crying, and they just assume that it's something that this brother did, you have to always understand that monsters are always created. And sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes it is intentional. Sometimes the person that gets the monster might not even be the actual creator. They were just the one that put the finishing bolt in the net.
Yeah.
Right. But at the end of the day, church folks, if your job is to love,
I don't understand how y'all walking away off of that into y'all feelings. And a lot of times there's so much stuff in our own household we really should be worried about and tapped into, because a lot of y'all situations that y'all think y'all just got so locked down and on smack, I want y'all to understand that when it was real crystal clear that my situation was over, a lot of y'all wives was trying to holler at your boy. I just ain't missing to put that stuff out there and blast the people. But I be seeing all these comments and now people calling me bro and all of that. No, I wasn't bro. They might have said, oh, brother, but they never called bro. But that's neither here nor there. So before we kind of, because I don't want to hold lifers too long, man, they've been rocking with us.
Well, I got to do this real quick.
Come on.
I know the time is 9:01 and we get ready to get out your hair in a little bit. But you know it's the anniversary show, so it was bound to be just a little bit over.
Just a little bit, true that.
So I understand, you know, everything that you've been through, man. You've recently gotten remarried and kind of, you know, started paving a new path. Go ahead, you know what I'm saying, kind of give us a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah, man. So this is going back to, like, 2017. And a lot of people are under the impression, and again, I'm going to put this out there publicly. A lot of people are under the impression that my current scenario and marriage is the direct result or the direct reason why my first failed. But that's a lie. And for those who do not believe it is a lie, before I kind of tell the presence and the beauty of my wife, I'm going to give a real clear timeline. So my brother passed away in 2016. And when that day happened, I was at work solo. My mother called me on my cell phone. She said, and I always know when something ain't right because the way the conversation starts.
Yeah.
And this is even why we have a little bit of trauma now, just you can't call at certain times. You can't be too animated when I first pick up. My heart will be racing. So
yeah. She
calls me. She gives me the news. I walked off to the side, wiping tears out of my eyes, and, you know what I'm saying, shut down everything, called my manager. I dip. I drove 30 minutes, get to the crib. It's summertime. I walk through the door. I'm looking at my daughter sitting in my chair, my son, my nephew, another child. I walk through the door. She says, and my child at the time, she's probably 9. She says, Daddy, you okay? I said, I will be. I go in my room, lay down. Wasn't until hours later until the ex-wife comes home. She's shocked. What are you doing home? We haven't had a conversation. She doesn't know I'm at home. She doesn't know my brother's deceased. And so for anybody that wants to challenge that something was going on before, I want you to ask yourself then why. It wasn't until after this scenario that my now wife even first reached out to me just to say, hey, are you okay? I called the job. You're not there. That's not like you. There was nothing even flirtatious going on. But yet here I am. I don't even know what is happening in my life. So that's just for people who just really feel like, because people despised at that point in time my now wife, thinking that everything would be all good if it wasn't for her, but things hadn't been all good for a while. That's that silent divorce. You know what I'm saying? So, boom. We fast forward. I was fortunate enough to, this time around, do things the right way. What I mean by that is every other attempt to have a relationship, you will see a girl,
You think she's pretty, attractive, whatever. She likes you. Y'all exchange numbers. You start dating. You start smashing. And all while this is happening, you're learning them, so you're becoming friends while you're trying to work a relationship.
Yeah.
That normally don't work. This scenario, we had built a friendship for a year, a real concrete friendship, like no flirting, it ain't got nothing to do, nothing, like just straight up and down, you the homie. So after my brother passes, and I'm now noticing a whole different level of concern that's coming my way, and the desire to be welcomed, accepted, appreciated, acknowledged is being fulfilled, and I see that this is the direction that I want. It was not long into us dating that I think we both knew that what we wanted long term.
Yeah.
And so despite age difference, despite anything else that on paper would have made somebody say, man, what you doing? They didn't understand the conversations. And so while this person began to say things like, you just don't know, you saved my life, it was the very same response that I was telling them back.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things, and unfortunately, there's a lot that we just don't have the time to dig into. This is really, this is a memoir. This is a 4 or 5 hour if we want to go in depth. So there's a lot that gets glossed over, but the reality is there was so much that happened up until that point in my life to where most men would have tried self-harm, suicide.
Yeah.
They would have turned to just a life of drugs. And there was a lot of things that I did in life to where it wasn't drugs, but I was turning to other thrills, trying to, I guess in a sense, dodge death, live life, whatever you want to call it. And not any longer being in the church. And like a previous guest has said, out of Philly, the Philly girls, I never left God. And so even though, again, people are looking at a lifestyle now and they say, well, you know, he's getting tattoos and I know he drinks and, you know, it's legal now in Missouri. So I think he's partaking. And I heard they got the party house, fun house. I want you to still understand that my parents and my agenda has never changed. My awareness as a parent, as a father, as a man, has actually only increased. My understanding and my patience for people has increased. And so now I speak to people to get an understanding to help versus before what I realized is I was so gung-ho for God, bro, that most people that I talked to, I wasn't even talking to get an understanding or to listen. I was really just letting them say what they needed to say. And the moment that they said and took that breath, I'm jumping in with Jesus. I literally was just listening like a salesperson to sell them Jesus.
Yep.
And I hurt so many people because they was looking for me to wrap my arms around them and love them and be a natural caregiver as opposed to trying to provide them something spiritually that if I had to remember myself. And this is why I started off like I did when I was young. I remember not believing in God, bro. And the reason why I didn't believe in God is because if there was a God, why am I seeing prostitutes walk up and down the alley? Why do I have a cousin that is now considered a vegetable? Why do we have another cousin that body gets found behind a grocery store because he had enough heart? He's slinging dope. He gets behind. They give him chance after chance. They end up coming to my people crib. Aunties, all them is in that crib. They say either he come out or we come in. And cuz had enough heart to accept his fate, and they find his body. All these different things. You got an uncle that just died. We just moved back in this piece. If it's a God, why is my mama the youngest of nine living? Everybody got an established crib, but y'all are arguing over the house that we're now staying in for a year because she just went through a divorce with a young kid, a fresh elementary kid, fresh, going into second grade. Everybody else is established, bro. I told you, my first cousins are a little older. So they teenagers in their own cribs with aunties and uncles, but y'all are fighting over who's going to get my uncle's house that we're staying in and fortunate enough that we were able to stay there. This is the first lesson in life I ever learned. In the midst of them arguing in whatever building this was in, my bird says, family would do you worse than anybody.
Sir.
So all of these things, bro, contributed to where I am. I told you this before. I told lifers the very first time I ever cheated in life as a married man, it absolutely broke me.
Yeah.
The very first time it happened, it never was supposed to happen. I was not there for that intention. It was to legit get a job, a side job, doing work in this person's home, and they really set me up to get me there, and then that lust aspect took over. And I remember as I drove home and couldn't get past things, I can never say that I had cheated again. So this scenario was a level of redemption for me and allowed me to be able to say, I can say going forward, I don't cheat on my wife. I'm not a cheater. And I've had people try to test that theory, but what they don't understand is I'm not moved by that. Every woman from the age of a legal age through the point they get in the ground has the component to provide sex. So that's nothing that is a commodity. If everybody's a millionaire, bro, $1 million don't mean jack no more. Would you agree? It don't mean nothing. If I can look all around and everybody has this thing, then it's not a commodity. It's not desirable. It's common.
It's the norm.
So I was never driven by the motive of sex. Understand, my sex was a result of the need or the lack thereof for a certain area of my life. And that was the fulfillment. That was the little piece of the candy bar that I thought was feeding that need, but it was really feeding other areas that would create this monster. So now having the ability to stand upright and stand on that, the crazy part, would you still believe you still get backlash because you still will have a community, people, churches, ex-friends, ex-family that now look at you and say, how is it fair that you can be faithful and do this now? Because I'm a man. One. Two, everybody's not meant to be together. Some people are meant to just be acquaintances, bro, and we turn them into lifetime scenarios by having a baby with folks.
Yep.
Some folks we done moved in with, hey, that was only supposed to be a little, you know what I'm saying, a little let's go out on the movie date. But y'all done turned it into something else. And now once you get the caboose hooked up, now you're trying to figure out how did I get here. You did it. You weren't supposed to be there. And it's okay. So everybody's not meant to be together. Some people will pull stuff out of your life as they put stuff in your life.
Yep.
That you didn't even know was there, right? And then life is a teacher. This is the part where I say at this phase of life, my mannerisms, the way that I problem solve, the way that I look at things with a different perspective and I'm 6-7 moves ahead in chess, this comes from a lot of the mistakes that I was fortunate enough, God did not put my hand to the fire and let me feel it. You know what I'm saying? I don't judge people for their scenarios. Your vice isn't mine, but that doesn't mean that mine was any less crippling. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Alcoholism, which we didn't talk about, from the age of 14, we started drinking. By 18, I'm an alcoholic. And for anybody out there that does not want to believe that, I would encourage you to reach out to my step-siblings that were in the house. And I'm only saying step-siblings just so people can get a grasp of who I'm referring to. They know that they're my people. You reach out to them and you ask them what my level of drinking was. You they'll tell you. And it carried on. And they'll tell you my actions in public because of it. So where we are now, bro, is one of the greatest testaments that there is a God.
Yeah.
And that in spite of so many things that we have done and do not believe that we're deserving of, that grace is still there. And it's so crazy because you know and other people know there are things that I still see and I still know that there's no way that I should see or I should know. And it was very difficult for me to grasp that thought. And I'm not, please don't nobody confuse that, oh, he's trying to say he's a prophet. No, please be clear, a prophet is something totally different. I'm talking about in the midst of you talking to somebody and God put something on your heart about them, just random. And I had to almost ask myself, well, how is it that you're able to operate with these gifts? How are you still getting the gifts if you no longer are in church? You're not speaking in tongues like you used to. You ain't lifting holy hands like you used to. You drinking fists now. Oh, you having wild, wild sex now. Oh, you did, you know, how is this happening? And I had to remember that the gifts is still there. It's the anointing you don't have. Because the gifts come without repentance. The gifts come without repentance. This was something God gave. But it's that anointing that breaks yokes. So it's the anointing that I no longer had, but the gifts to be able to speak to certain things, all of that was still there.
So, man, as we get ready to wrap this thing up, I don't even think a soapbox is needed. We've been far over, you know what I'm saying, our expected time. But I just want to say this, man. Hey, standing still. Still standing still, man. And, you know, it's just like, hey, I'm still standing. And now that I'm able to be still standing, now I'm standing still because I'm where I need to be. So much applause to you, my boy. And I know we headed on 2 hours, so we want to just go ahead and slide up out the joint. But, hey, we back in this joint tonight, man.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow night, back in the building like we ain't never left, bro.
You did. And you know why? Because
life.
Go keep on life, and we're going to continue to be here to talk about it. I'm your host, Tony D.
And I'm your host, D to the J, back up in the building like I ain't never left. Appreciate y'all rocking out with us for a nice little minute tonight. Appreciate y'all walking with me. I know some stuff might have been all over. Some stuff is like a wild. Some stuff you lying, but I ain't. But listen, I just appreciate lifers in general holding us down, man. And as we continue to bring more topics forward, man, we look forward to seeing those continuously using our platform and giving us the opportunity to share their stories, to tell their truths, to break whatever emotional chains need to be broken in their life. That is one of the dopest things. These are these gifts that we talk about, that somebody will look at us, never meet us, hear us for the first time, meet us for the first time, and God gives them a sense of peace and comfort that they therefore feel comfortable sharing their never-before-told stories and opening up an emotional wound to us. Like, that is, bro, that is just beyond dope, man. So I appreciate you, appreciate the lifers. It's like that.